every once in a while it pops up on my Facebook feed, and maybe it pops up on yours as well. It's a picture of an ad or a little to the letter to the editor, but it's very, very small, very short, and it goes something like, "Shame on you hunters for going hunting. You should go to the grocery store and get your meat where no animals are killed." Now, we might laugh at that, but that's how detached some from the whole process of food. We who are Midwestern, we at least have driven by hog barns, and we know this is where our pork comes from, or we've at least know something about farming of beef, chickens, all those things. We know that meat comes from somewhere, and usually you have to kill it in order to eat it. There is that bad story about the farmer who had a three-legged pig and you don't eat it all at once, but that's another story. Any kind of food that we eat, though, there's a death that occurs. Even our lettuce, we chop it off and it dies. And we might get a little squeamish about thinking about that, but we ought not. But looking at today's first reading, we might get even more squeamish. In the ancient world, animal sacrifice was the norm. And not only animal sacrifice, different cultures had different animals they had sacrificed, but in some places of the world, in some places even on this continent, Mexico specifically, there was human sacrifice. There's something about blood for blood, a life for a life, that we get, again, squeamish about because we're so disconnected from that ancient thought. Perhaps we're disconnected because of what we celebrate today, the unbloodied sacrifice of the Mass. But in the Old Testament especially, we have time and again covenants that were sealed in an animal sacrifice. And today, what we have is Moses who's sealing the people in this covenant. They say, yes, we will follow this covenant. We and our ancestors, our descendants will follow this covenant to the full. And Moses instructs that they would take these animals, that they would slaughter them, they would keep the blood. Half the blood goes on the altar. Did you catch where the other half went? It got sprinkled on the people. You hate the sprinkling, right? Imagine blood. Blood. And it was a reminder to the people, if you break this covenant, this is what will happen to you. Talk about really squeamish, right? If you break the covenant, God will break you. That's why they used animals. And time and again, throughout the scriptures, we hear that animals being brought forward in sacrifice. And even the Passover, a Passover lamb was sacrificed. His blood put on the first Passover, blood put on the lintels of the doors. But the people, the family, would eat that Passover lamb. And Jesus Christ, at the Last Supper, is celebrating a Passover feast. A lamb was sacrificed that day. But we don't hear about the lamb, do we? Instead, we hear about Jesus taking bread, blessing it, breaking it, and giving it to them. Why? He's replacing the Passover lamb with his very self. Moses was a priest who offered the sacrifice in the Old Testament. Jesus is a priest who offers the sacrifice in the New Testament, but Moses offered a lamb, bulls and oxen, and all sorts of animals. But Jesus offers himself and replaces the whole sacramental sacrificial system in doing so. He puts an end to the animal sacrifice, because he sacrifices himself. And as we hear in Hebrews, if the blood of bulls and sheep can take away sin, how much more the blood of Christ? But we are still so detached, some 2,000 years later, from this whole knowledge of the sacrificial system. Detached. How are we entered in? If there has to be blood, how do we receive that? Well, it's the Feast of Corpus Christi. You hopefully have some clue. The body and blood of Christ. That when we come to the Mass, we receive that Paschal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are ushered into that one eternal sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That he gives himself in sacrifice, replaces all other sacrifice, but initiates invites us in to that one sacrifice. Might be a little trick question, but how many masses are there? Oh, we have three masses this weekend, right here? No, we have one mass. See, the mass we celebrate this day, this morning, is the same mass that was celebrated at the Last Supper, is the same mass that was celebrated on the first Sunday of Easter, after the resurrection. It's the same mass that will be the last mass offered on the face of the earth before Christ comes. All of time is wrapped up in this one mass. The mass we offer today is the same mass that Bishop Lavore is offering at the cathedral. Same mass that Pope Francis is offering wherever he's offering mass this day. It's the same mass that's offered in the smallest, most distant place in Africa. The same mass. All of space is wrapped up into this one sacrifice because Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. What we celebrate, what we receive is not just bread and wine. It's not bread and wine, period. It's not a thing, but it's a who. It's Jesus Christ. And we receive him. But even then, we might be detached from the sacrifice. How many of us brought bread and wine this morning? I didn't even bring it. The church provides it, right? So we're so detached from the sacrifice that Christ himself will take from us that we might not even see. And so we're detached and we don't see the connection. St. Augustine told his parishioners, he would tell us who read his homily. It's a beautiful homily. He says, see yourself in that paten. Place yourself in that chalice. All your hopes and dreams, all your sufferings, all the joys and sorrows of your life, place yourself there. Let Christ receive you. Do we do that? Is the question. Do we really unite ourselves in the sacrifice? In a few minutes, you will hear me inviting, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We offer sacrifice, our very lives, in an unbloodied way, yes, but we're bloody because we're united to Jesus Christ on his cross. And this sacrifice calls us to something. Not only to be fully, actively, consciously participating in this Mass, but this Mass calls us to something else. I use the example of Mother Teresa. Would spend hours in adoration every morning and then go out to serve the poor. The same Christ she worshipped in the morning in adoration is the same Christ she found on the streets, sometimes covered in maggots. The same Christ she brought into the convent in order to cleanse their wounds and give them dignity in their death. The same Christ. The Eucharist called her to service. Mary Jo Copeland, another prime example, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, spending time in adoration in the morning at Mass, receiving Jesus Christ, and then going out and serving Jesus Christ in the poor, in the homeless. Jesus Christ calls us through this Eucharist to sacrifice our lives, not in a bloody way, but in a way that's united to him, transformed by him. We are called to sacrifice. We are called to be united in this one eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to serve the needs of people everywhere, to serve them because he's transformed us.